And there was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Woohoo! Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls, episode 18. I'm Tim.
I'm Leander.
And there's no Lou. It just worked out that way.
Okay.
One day we'll get all three of us together again.
Eventually.
But we figured we'd give you some content and talk about some of the big things that are going on instead of, you know, nothing. So, Leander, how are you?
I am great. Just like Tony the Tiger.
I was going to say. All right.
I haven't heard him in a while, so I figured I'd bring him back for a little bit.
He's probably dead, that guy.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Everything's good. I was in D.C. last week, which is when you guys did the podcast without me. And let's see, / my podcast. And also, it went really well. I had a good time. I did enjoy listening to, like, the podcast without me on it.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of fun.
It's kind of outside your body experience.
It was outside my body experience.
Yeah. I would love to do one. You guys got to do one without me. That would be nice.
I don't know if that'll ever happen. We need you. We can't do anything without you.
I don't believe that to be true.
Yeah, but you should, because that's how we
feel. I would love for that to be true, but I, you know.
It's mostly true.
Well, I appreciate the lies.
Mm-hmm.
It's what our friendship is based upon.
Every day, I have
all
to keep it up.
All the
every
lies.
Day.
It's tough. I feel for you.
It is. It is actually very tough to keep up lies. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie.
It's really tough to keep up lies, because you have to tell the right people at the right time. Then if you tell someone something, it has to corroborate with your story that you told earlier today, and it's just really bad. So, I'm not really good at it. Everyone always catches me.
Yeah.
Is it possible to do a lie for eternity and never get caught?
I'm sure it is, but it's harder nowadays. Interwebs and all of that stuff. You can fact check stuff.
It's true.
Leander, where were you? I was there. Well, your Facebook says otherwise.
Yeah. My biggest problem with lying is that I do it to my friends the most because...
Oh, good to know.
Yeah, you know, problem.
Let's put that out there.
Well, come on. We're not friends. We're closer than that.
Oh.
So, it's hard because the biggest thing now in today's society is that everyone wants to make plans and everyone refuses to make plans because we're in this technological age where... You want to have the ultimate satisfaction, and every second you're allowed to know what could be the next ultimate satisfaction. By making plans, you then basically block off your ability to have access to the ultimate satisfaction.
Hmm, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the ultimate satisfaction?
I don't know, but there's definitely plenty of times. Doesn't have to be ultimate satisfaction, it just needs to be better than the satisfaction you're getting currently out of the situation.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm podcasting. I'm very satisfied.
There you go.
There it is.
Well, there you are.
There it is. I'm good. It's when I stop podcasting that life gets real.
Oh, boy.
Gets dark and grim.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's it. I don't really have anything amazing going on right now.
Okay.
I was trying to think if I did, and I really don't.
No?
It's just been the store that I work at, the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. We've been gearing up for our free comic book day sale. So it's just been a lot of work this week, a lot of work, which is good. You know, keeping busy, getting ready.
You have a job.
I have a job. I got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
That's what I've been up to. So.
All right. Keep it simple. Keep it simple today. Nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. Before we go into news and stuff, I got to remind everybody to check out our Facebook. I'm on Twitter, although I always screw up my Twitter handle whenever... I don't know what it is.
You actually say it correct every single time, but you always say that you say it wrong every single time.
How about you just say it for me?
No.
That's awesome. So I have to listen to that. I didn't even know that.
You say it right. You've yet to say it wrong. You have never said it wrong.
Wow. All right. Well, my Twitter handle is mad_dog_Tim.
Just like all the other times you said it.
Wait, I think I said it wrong.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, whatever. I'm sure people are like, what?
Yeah. Like, I just heard it correctly, though.
They're like, it doesn't matter. We're not gonna.
We're not even gonna check.
We're on iTunes. We're on your cell phones, whatever podcasting app or device you use. We're on there. CapesandScalesPodcast.com. We're on YouTube. We are everywhere.
You want to be.
Wow. I feel like that's copyrighted.
Not if we both say it different words. You only said, sure, you're everywhere, and I said, you want to be. So it's okay.
That's fair. So, just to tease what we'll talk about today, you and I are going to tackle the Iceman is now a gay character thing. Because we didn't really get into it last week.
Okay.
And there was a couple points that Lou and I wanted to make, but it was so late in the podcast that we just kind of played it off. With our ice boner joke.
Yes.
So, we're going to talk more about that. I have seen Age of Ultron.
I have not.
And we're going to tiptoe around that and try to talk about it as politely as I can to Leander without spoiling everything.
And why we tiptoeing, I mean Tim's going to tiptoe, because I have nothing to tiptoe around.
That's right. And we'll talk about Dragon Ball Z. We'll talk about Mortal Kombat.
Oh my goodness.
All kinds of things.
And comic reviews, maybe.
Maybe comic reviews.
If we have
reviews.
Time.
We'll have time.
All right.
I'm already like halfway done.
Good. So am I. All right, go
cool.
ahead.
Cool. So why don't we start with the Iceman story, since that was where we briefly ended last week.
Okay, sounds good.
So what is your take on this? I have my opinions, and now that I've researched it better, instead of just Lou springing a story on me, which I'm glad he did, but...
Well,
thoughts?
Okay. Well, first thought, and this is going to be... This is at the retail side of things. Mm-hmm. I feel like the comic didn't sell that much. Like, I was there, I thought it was going to be sold out, or it wasn't. So either it was going to be a big deal or it wasn't going to be a big deal. And I don't know. Well, do you remember how sales were for that book?
I think they were normal.
Normal.
I don't think it necessarily
upped
it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So that's maybe a good thing, because I guess to Lou's point of it's just everyone does it to up the sales, but it didn't really do anything extra. It just made regular sales, per se. So that's one thing. All right, so let's go to the other stuff, the real stuff, the nitty-gritty.
The real stuff.
Let's get down to what's going really happening here. Mm-hmm. Young Bobby is supposedly gay, or is gay. Is gay for sure, because Jean Grey read his mind and he admitted it. So,
right.
Young Bobby is gay. Adult Bobby is not currently gay, or stated to be gay.
Right.
I'm okay with that,
mm-hmm.
to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see the point where basically any character now can just, like, be gay, even if they were straight, quote-unquote, their entire lives, according to what we know their entire lives to be.
Right.
Also, I don't know when Bobby got his first girlfriend. Like, I don't know how young he was when the first romantic interest happened.
I don't know either. I'd imagine he was young, because he's always been the youngest member of the team,
mm-hmm.
so I feel like in their adventuring, he was probably fairly young.
Right.
You know. But my question is, to you, sir,
mm-hmm.
how do you update, you know, like a classic character, and you update them for the times, and you can absolutely make that character a lot more interesting by saying, this character's gay, this is part of who he is, and then going with it from there. But it's hard to update these classic characters, and, like, it all goes back to something we said a lot, is, like, a lot of these characters were written by old white guys.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't going to write about a gay character. They were barely going to write about a black character.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
How do you update these characters? And, like, it's Brian Michael Bendis, one of the best writers that Marvel has, doing this. And it's, like, maybe he really legit wants to up this and make this a thing for the right reasons, but it's like, how do you do that?
Right.
And not look like a PR stunt.
Right. I think, well, all right. Before I even get into that, can we just say one more thing before I get into the big stuff?
Sure.
It's all being erased. So why do we even care?
That's right. Podcast over. Why do we even podcast? We just wait until after Convergence and Secret Wars and start podcasting again. We'll just talk about video games and movies.
It's literally the worst possible feeling. Like, I want to have this conversation with you and really get into it. Right. Just for it all to be erased and him not exist anymore.
But what if it doesn't? Let's play devil's advocate.
I know, but I need to put that out there for the ether because everyone's thinking it. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get back now the fact that he might stick around.
Right.
So, I think it's phenomenal if they can get the right writer. And the right writer needs to not be on all new X-Men. He needs to be on whatever the adult X-Men, adult Iceman is on. Because adult Iceman is where it's really going to go down. The young Iceman is just any other gay character, you know, whatever. The adult Iceman, that's where it needs to really focus on right now.
That makes sense.
Because it's normal, it is completely normal for a character who's lived in that time frame that Iceman lived in when he was younger to not come out as gay.
Sure.
Normal for them to have a girlfriend, normal for them to get married, normal for them to have kids, and then normal for them to finally come out X amount of years later and say, oh, by the way, I'm gay, and I don't know how to tell you guys, but I know we're married, I know we have kids, but it's fine.
And that's commonplace nowadays, current real world shit. Exactly. Stuff. That's, yes. That's a thing.
So. Yes. Even more so, though, for people who grew up in that time frame.
Sure. Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And, I mean, it's kind of funny because it's like, yeah, these characters were created in the 60s, but, like, how long have they been?
Right.
It's so hard to even figure it out. Like, is he eternally, like, 18?
Well, he's a teacher. Like, he's a teacher now. God, so they all have to be older.
Sure.
They got to be at least in their late 20s, if not Jesus really.
Wish I could live 50 years and be 20. Then. No, I probably don't.
They got to be in their late 20s, if not early 30s.
Right, okay.
At this point, because they have kids around.
Mark Ruffalo, the man who plays the Hulk in the movies, went on social media and praised Brian Michael Bendis for this, for making Iceman a gay character and supporting gay characters in comics and making mm-hmm. a big statement with a major character. Mm-hmm. And then he also went on to, he's really been pushing for Black Widow toys and apparel for the new Avengers stuff. And he's right. It's always been that way where there's less female characters in the toy lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're always more valuable
right.
to the toy collector. But right. Black Widow is such an important part of the Avengers and mm-hmm. just Marvel franchise. Like, how can you not really support her
right.
with action figures? Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
It is a little silly,
and it's
actually.
Scarlett Johansson, who yeah. everyone loves.
Right. Everyone should be supporting that. That's a good point.
It's very crazy. So well, that's good that he went on there. Him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Social media being used correctly.
Yeah, actually, Mark Ruffalo is using social media a lot recently.
That's what I've been hearing. Yes.
Yeah, so it's good for him for being modern.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Iceman.
Yes.
I think it just needs to focus. We need a really good writer for the Iceman story. Whatever happens, if our current timeline Iceman lives on after Secret Wars,
mm-hmm.
they need a good writer that can deal with that.
Right. I agree with you. And I guess the best example of character where this has already happened is Northstar. Northstar, it felt like it was a big deal, and it wasn't at the same time. Like, they didn't play it up, his being gay, but it was mm-hmm. very shocking for the time. It was, like, late 80s, early 90s
right,
when they explored
it was early.
That. When he got married in that issue, I think it was Astonishing X-Men, yeah. that was more of a PR stunt. That very much felt like a PR mm-hmm, stunt mm-hmm. than actually building the character. Because right. he's never been a main character. Right. But since then, he's become much more of a main character. And right. I guess the point I'm trying to make is they write him as a character, not as the gay guy.
Right.
And that's what's important.
Yeah.
I like how he's written now.
Yeah. And to Lou's point, and to your point, maybe, I don't remember who said what, on the last podcast, but it's always going to be a PR stunt until it isn't.
Right.
You know,
that's
you can't,
society's
you,
fault.
Yeah, you can't do anything about that. The second that any new issue comes up about some character, everyone's going to say it's a PR issue. And the only reason it's a PR issue is because there are still ignorant, idiotic people that don't understand and appreciate gay people. So the first time something gay happens, we have to make a big deal about it. Mm-hmm. And the only reason it's a big deal is because of that. There's no one makes a big deal about Luke Cage and Jessica anymore because it's right. an interracial couple. Whatever, no one cares.
Right.
Is there an interracial couple every single day on the street? No one cares. Mm-hmm. So if a black and white character got together, it's not a PR stunt. a gay person because reveals that they're gay, it's a PR stunt. Until people stop being ignorant idiots and start talking about life as if gay people aren't anything super special. They're just regular, everyday, always happening, never going to go away, so deal with it in your face, people. So.
Oh, that's great. I had a point, and you just made me laugh, and I lost it. I was going to go somewhere. You would be proud of me.
Okay.
I had we're near a college, and one of the college students came in and was doing a paper on superheroes and like things in popular media. And I made a point, because he was, like, recording me, and I made a point to say, that gay characters aren't being represented right, transgender characters aren't being represented right. I made the big spiel. I twisted his question back to what I wanted to say.
Nice.
But, like, he was asking all the right questions. It's just, sure. I wanted to make the point.
Yes.
You know, like, I forget what his actual question was, and I brought up, like, all these characters were made by old white guys back in a very racist time, like, black characters, especially, and then you go to gay and transgender even harder from there.
Yeah. Right.
So, it was, you'd be proud of me.
Nice.
I'm sticking up for everybody. Getting the knowledge out there. That's the only way to change
things. That's right.
Is to talk about it, people.
Then no longer will Iceman being gay be a PR stunt. It will just be a normal thing.
I don't feel like it's a PR stunt. I really don't. I don't feel like Bendis is really known for that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he was pushed into it and he's like, well, I'll just write it really well and hope for the best. But I don't know. You never know.
Yeah. it's what happens afterwards. It's not about what happens
initially
at that issue. It matters what happens in the next year.
Right.
With that character.
Right.
Not the younger character.
The older.
With the older character. For me, anyways. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they just write him exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And he just is gay. If he's going to go out on a date for any reason in the book, it's just with a man. That's it.
I think, though, however, I would appreciate more if they really did explore this whole I'm still straight, I'm still dating women. I would wish that Iceman was married with kids right now. That would be the ideal situation.
That would be cool.
Because that would expose what happens all the time. Mm-hmm. So,
would you like other characters to be uncomfortable around him? Maybe, like, teammates that have been around?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you want, like, that whole play out?
Yeah, because it's different. Because younger teens, that whole awkward thing, over it. We're done. We all get it. We all watch Glee. Got it. In terms of the next evolution of this, this is kind of like the perfect example of if you look at white people, black people, Asians, gays, transgendered, whatever, you always box them into they're this, right?
Right.
And they're not allowed to have any diversity within that box. And so this is a diversity within the box of being gay, that you are married with children and you haven't come out yet.
Right.
That's something that's unique. Just like being black and gay is different than being white and gay. Being Hispanic and gay is different than being black or white and gay. Being transgendered and gay is a whole nother story as well. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is a chance for Marvel, other comics to follow suit, to explore the diversity of what it means to be gay. That, for a while, will feel like a PR stunt because it's all new. Like, oh, like the first gay black person is going to be a PR stunt. The first transgender gay person is going to be a PR stunt. That's what everyone's going to feel because...
whether it is or not.
Right, because they think it's not normal.
Right.
So.
Well, I mean, we have to go through these motions in order to make it the normal.
Exactly.
So I guess in that respect, this is a good thing and it's a positive thing. And even if they flub it, it's kind of like it's out there.
Right.
We did it. We took a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Did you ever read any of the X-Factor stuff with
Shatterstar
and Richter?
Yep.
That was really well done.
I thought it was
because it was almost like they were accepting it, but they were like kind of confused about it, and they struggled with it.
And then Rain came in pregnant.
Right, right.
That was
really good.
That was really good.
So if you need a very good example of gay characters in comics, in Marvel comics especially, Shatterstar and Richter was probably the best.
I was shocked, to be quite honest.
I didn't see it coming at all.
I didn't see it at all. Even the first time, I didn't see it until Astonishing X-Men when they came. X-Factor came to visit the island for a little bit, and then something happened with him and Northstar, and I'm like, why is Richter and Shatterstar making comments about it didn't make sense to me at all. Right, I was so confused. And then later I realized that they were together-ish or whatever.
Right.
So, yeah. Could this be horrible? Yes, of course, this whole Iceman thing could be horrible. Could it be a PR stunt? Sure, it could be a PR stunt. But, again, it's not about what happened. It's about what's going to happen. That's more important. Stop focusing on the main point and push them to have good writers from this point on to deal with this issue. And then it's not a PR stunt.
I hope it ends up more like North Star, where he's just a character now.
Right.
And he's accepted, and it's not about him being gay. Almost always it's not about him being gay.
Right.
Which is great.
Right.
Let's move on. I got some quick little things here. Kingsman, the movie, is getting a sequel. A lot of people were excited for that. Apparently that movie is amazing.
Nice. I haven't seen it, but
I have not either. But it's based off of the comic book Secret Service by Mark Millar.
Okay.
Everything Millar writes just pretty much ends up as a movie.
Yeah, that's his thing.
James Wan is the director of Furious 7. He is in talks to direct a live-action Robotech movie.
Really?
I love Robotech.
Interesting.
Insanely. I'm a very... When I'm with my anime, I'm like 90s and back for me, personally. And I love Robotech insanely. And Macross and all the iterations of it. Even though they always end... Because it was three different shows thrown into one, and it was just like throwaway dialogue to lead into the next one. And then they live peacefully for years. And next generation, go.
Right.
And like these characters kind of look like some of the other characters. They're their kids.
Yeah.
Go. Run with it. Whatever. That's what you had to do to get your show on the air. Whatever.
Sure.
But I am super excited for this.
Nice.
Like, even if this turned out like how Transformers is, where it's just a CGI fest, I'm pretty much still going to go see it. Because I like Robotech that much.
Nice. All right.
So that is happening. Did you hear about Ryan Phillippe?
Nope.
He's being discussed for one of the Marvel Netflix series.
Can we go with who is Ryan Phillippe first?
He was married to, what was it, Meg Ryan?
Okay.
He was in, I gotta think of all the movies he's in. The only movie I ever seen him in that I really liked was The Way of the Gun.
Okay.
What is it? Cruel Intentions is where he started. He's in a million movies.
Ryan Phillippe, who's an actor, is gonna direct something, is what you're saying.
No, he is being sought after by Marvel to be one of the in the Netflix series.
One of the Netflix series, in some way.
He's an alright actor. He's got a good look.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's fit and everything. But he's like 40 now, so I'm like, would they? Because the rumor is he might be Iron Fist. Is a rumor, and I'm like, I could see it, but he is kind of, he's not old.
Sure.
But he's kind of old for
sure.
The way it's shaping up. Like Daredevil seems so young.
Right. Iron Fist has always been pretty young looking.
Yes.
So it wouldn't make any sense.
I mean, he would look the part. He wouldn't look bad, but if this is going to go on for years, would you kind of assume that's what they want?
But he could be a good villain.
Right, and the other rumor is he would play Bullseye for Daredevil. Could be.
Sure.
I could see that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially if Bullseye is, like, the villain and he doesn't make it past a season or two.
Right.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
But he's not a terrible actor, it's just he's done a lot of roles that I don't really care for, not my style. The Way of the Gun, very underrated movie. There's no good guy in the whole fucking movie. It's crazy. I almost didn't curse.
You almost didn't curse. We'll bleep that out later.
We'll fix it in post, except I fix post, and I don't ever fix anything in post.
So. You'll fix this one.
I won't. Robot Chicken is going to do a third DC Comics special. I don't know if you've caught any of the other ones. They're all very funny.
Nice. Very, as they should be. Robot Chicken's hilarious.
It is, and they have the right amount of knowledge on the comics, the characters, and they treat it with respect.
Nice.
Which is weird to say because it's all fart and dick jokes, but they do treat it with respect.
Yes. And for those of you counting, yes, that is two bleeps he'll be doing today.
Why? It's fine. Dragon Ball Z is coming back. With a whole new series that'll continue after Majin Buu. I believe it's Dragon Ball Z Super, I think it's called. They are greenlit for 18 episodes. And you remember, we had talked about, I was at KatoriCon and I met the voice actor for Krillin. And I grilled him about this.
Yes.
And he has, just so you know, you can't get anything out of Krillin. He has the best poker face ever. I tried so hard.
I like how you call him Krillin, by the way.
Because I don't know his name off the top of my head. He's an awesome guy. He's also, he works at Dark Horse on ElfQuest. Look him up. give him proper respect that I did not do, because I wrote this whole thing in like 20 minutes before I got here, and that's the truth. But Dragon Ball Z. You love Dragon Ball Z. I love Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
How excited are you?
I'm very excited.
Are you worried that it's going to just ruin it in some way, and you're like, ugh, now it left off there?
Or... You mean like Pan?
I guess. You could say Pan.
I don't think they can ruin it at this point in time. I think it'll be fine.
I kind of agree.
And they could always wipe it out as if it didn't happen, like they're going to do with GT. So
right. I do like the fact that it's kind of like his son, Akira Toriyama's son's kind of like, he grew up, and he's like, dude, you did this? This is awesome.
Yeah.
What happens now? We want more. And he's like, all right, I'll do more. God, I'll go make $1 bazillion.
That's
fine.
Awesome. Right.
At least that's what I've heard, is kind of why he did it. Because he didn't care for years. He's like, I mean, you see Cell when he offs Goku in the Cell. So mm-hmm. He never wanted to bring him back.
Yeah.
He wanted Gohan to become the main character and go from there. And
which he couldn't.
He couldn't do it. People wanted Goku back. He's like, fine.
Yeah.
I feel like his hands are tied all the time.
Right. And Gohan got screwed in terms of a character.
He did. He
got
absolutely
screwed big
did.
Time. He sucks as a character, personally. I think so.
I mean, he's so good. His best moments are Teen Gohan.
Yeah, for sure.
When he was the Great Saiyan Man. I liked the comic effect of it, mm-hmm. but he was so weak.
He was so weak.
They
and he's yet to ever boost come, up. Yeah, he's always been weak. A Saiyan Man was his biggest downfall.
So is it fair to say that that's what you want most from this, is Gohan to become an actual powerful character?
If that's possible. I don't know if it's possible anymore. I think it's just too... Yeah,
he's
too far down. I'd rather... see Vegeta and Kid Trunks take this scene. I'd rather them take over the whole series, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense, but if they could pull it off somehow.
I guess it really depends on what time frame this is. Like, is Goku going to be older?
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to matter? Like, Master Roshi still kicks butt for his age, but it's considerably less.
Right.
So is that a factor? There's a lot of things they could do to change it up.
Yeah, it could be a brand new character as well.
It could be brand new characters. Gohan could end up being the strongest one because the other ones are older.
Right.
You never know. I doubt it.
Yeah,
But, you know, how long does Piccolo live? Like, I don't know.
Right. We don't even know the ages of anyone.
No, we have no idea.
Vegeta and Goku, how old are they in comparison? Is one, like, 30 years older than the other one? We don't know.
No, we don't.
How old Saiyans live and when their birth dates were.
Mm-hmm.
We're just making up as we go.
That's right. Maybe Gohan will grow his tail back.
Plot device. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of potential.
Super Saiyan 4 Monkey Gohan.
You know what I would also kind of like?
Mm-hmm.
If these 18 issues, oh, wow, I'm so comic oriented.
Wow,
these 18 episodes were really had the feel of Dragon Ball.
The original. I really love Dragon Ball.
That would be epic. If, like, all the Dragon Balls went to, like, a different planet or something, and they all had to split up and go to different planets to go search for the Dragon Ball, I'd
so
be
you'd
okay
rather
with
have
that.
It be adventure.
I'd rather
come
oh
back
my
together
goodness,
for a
I
big
would
fight.
Love adventure. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the formula of Dragon Ball Z for the longest time was talk for two episodes, fight for one.
Yep.
And that's me being generous. It might have been more talking than that.
And
so.
Talking is being generous to the fact that equally, to the same amount of dialogue, is how much time it takes to power up a move. So, the same amount of episodes it takes for them to talk about it, the same amount of episodes it needs for them to power up a move.
It might take Goku 18 episodes to build the Spirit Bomb. I'm not sure.
Right. It's very possible.
It's 100% possible.
So I guess we'll see. When is that supposed to... Do you know anything about when it's supposed to happen?
I don't know the date.
All right. Well, people can check it out on their
own. I'm not even... Like, things like that, I don't even worry about because it changes so many times.
Of course. We gave them the news. They can go look it up themselves.
Right.
That's how this works.
And before we move on to our two bigger stories, you and I just played Mortal Kombat.
Oh my goodness. I thought that was a bigger story.
No. Mortal Kombat 10.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome. The graphics are amazing.
Yeah.
But most importantly, I beat you.
All right, let's calm down for
a second. No, let's talk about how I talked smack and still beat you.
First of all...
I kind of own you in fighting games.
First of all, you don't...
I don't know why.
...own me totally in video games.
You. Let
me
I'm just, a Street Fighter guy.
For those of you that play Mortal Kombat and know what cheap characters are and know what good characters are... And
really?
Know what it means to have to actually put some effort into playing a game.
Oh, man.
He chose Katana, and I have Jackie Briggs. Jackie Briggs is...
You didn't play Jackie
...very
Briggs.
Difficult. Yeah, I did.
No, you played Sonya.
I played Sonya's daughter, which is also just as equally. They're both really not that great.
I have not played this game at all.
Yeah, but it's Katana.
So what? I would have thought a chief character would be like Scorpion or Sub-Zero. They're or all Liu in
the
Kang.
Same, all in the same category. Yes,
I you are right. I just picked a character I like.
Mm-hmm. Just happens to be.
We're cheap. Just gonna have to play a bunch more times we'll and average to, it out.
Yes, we will. He did a good job, people. He did a good job for his first time. We should be proud of him. He did a really good job.
So it's big of you.
Even though it was a bunch of fan throwing, it was fine.
That's like half her moves for throwing fans. I would pick you up in the tornado move and not hit you because I don't know what I'm doing.
You did do that. So.
I did that. I kept doing it too. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. Although I've learned because of playing with Paul Porch because he's allowed to. We were allowed to use his last name because he put his last name out there already.
Sure.
We played last night a tournament style, mm-hmm. and I learned that my biggest weakness by far is jumping into uppercuts. Mm-hmm. I do it all the time, so yeah. I got to learn how to not jump as much.
In comparison to other Mortal Kombat games, it was a lot easier to land drop kicks on people than it is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I definitely feel like it's harder. Like, my fighting style in old Mortal Kombat games is not what I've had to do in this one.
Yeah.
But I guess that's good. It's good to update and change with the times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the graphics are ridiculously good. The fatalities are fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it. However, the most important thing to me is that freaking Jason Voorhees. That is all DLC. I want.
Yeah.
I will be downloading him soon, and it will be a lot of Jason Voorhees killing a lot of Mortal Kombat characters, because that's the only character I'm going to care about once Jason Voorhees is on Mortal Kombat 10.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's my favorite horror movie. Yeah,
very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That was fun.
That's awesome. I'm a Hellraiser guy. Mm-hmm. But still, very cool.
Mm-hmm. They could put Hellraiser on this for sure.
They could. That would be amazing. All right, so our last two stories, sir, and then we'll get out of the news. Jerry Conway is an artist who's been around for an eternity, and he kind of called out DC on social media about paying royalties to creators for characters that they've created. And it wasn't really in a bitter, you owe me money way. Mm-hmm. It was in a you're screwing everyone over kind of way.
Sure.
So there's a couple things to just go over with this. A man by the name of Paul Levitz used to be in charge of all of this, and he's recently left the company. And it used to be you would just get what you were owed kind of thing.
Okay.
For he used Jerry Conway himself used an example. He was very thankful to Bruce Timm, who did the Batman animated series, because he got a lot of royalties for Killer Croc showing up all the time. Things like that. Under the new regime, though, they have to put in a request, basically, for their payout for their characters ahead of them showing up in any other type of media. So it's almost like you got to predict if one of your characters is going to show up in a movie or a TV show, and you have to send them in like, hey, if you use this, I would like some royalties. And it's very weird.
That's stupid.
It is. And basically, and like he said, he's like, I've worked from 1969 to 1985 for DC. I made over 500 characters, some big, some not, obviously not. Mm-hmm. He goes, but what am I going to send in one of those every month and be like, hey, I did this.
Right.
The other thing is what's considered a derivative character. So DC's new policy is characters like Power Girl is derivative of Superman. So if it's a derivative character, you didn't really create this character. You don't get paid for it, which is total BS.
Yes, yes.
Because
all you have to do is have the son of Killer Croc, and sure. You don't want to pay it for it.
Right. And you absolutely, if you're interested in this, look up his rant and his letter that he wrote and published on the internet, because it's very good, more detailed than I'm going to go into here, but it's very awesome, and I agree with Jerry Conway. And he did an example where he's like, well, I guess I created this character, but I really didn't, but it's derivative of something I created back in 1960, so I guess I am owed money, but I'm not going to get money, so I guess DC just gets all that money and stores it in their bank.
Yeah.
The reason he's probably the best example is so many of his characters have ended up on TV as of late. Firestorm, Killer Frost, Killer Croc, Felicity Smoke, Felicity Smoke is huge on Arrow. She's a central character. Mm-hmm. She was never a big character in the comics. So, like, under their new formula, he'd have to send in a request, like, hey, you know, Felicity Smoke, I created her. I would like, you know, some money. But he would have to do it beforehand. It makes no sense. It's really terrible to the artists and creators, because once you're out of comics, if Jerry Conway isn't working on anything currently today, how is he making a living? And that's one of the biggest things we find with comic creators as they get older. If they didn't create, like, a Wolverine or something, like a big-name character, they're not getting invited to cons. They're barely living. They're living terribly often.
Right.
You know, they sell off their original works. They're working every little nickel and dime con to make $30. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So, and another big deal was he created Killer Frost. Killer Frost is not Caitlin Snow, which is the character that was created in The Flash, who will still become, likely, in the show, Killer Frost. But it's not exactly the same version as what he created, so they're taking, they're not going to give him any money for it.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I'm sure there's more to both sides, but I feel like with all the evidence he's supplied and his argument... Plus, DC sent him a check for $1,000. Like, oh, sorry, here's some money. And it's like $1,000.
Yeah.
You know?
Actually, them sending him a check is more reason for him to go ahead and get a lawyer and if he wanted to, because that means they admit it fault.
Right.
So.
Right.
But he can't cash the check, though. I know just a little bit about law. It doesn't make any sense. But
if
he cashes the check, then there's a problem. But if he doesn't cash the check and he gets a lawyer, he could actually do something about that.
And I hope he does, in a way. I don't ever want to be like, you know, big bad DC, big bad Marvel, and this could just be this could be one person at fault in DC's camp. Like, I'm not saying boycott DC, I'm not saying talk trash on anyone, but there's definitely some reviews that need to be made to their policies, because that's not right. I mean, the way it was before sounds great, where it's like, oh, my character showed up on Batman cartoon, I get a couple bucks, sweet.
Yep.
That seems right. That seems like how everybody else on the planet does it.
Right. And I feel like there should have been a contract signed at some point in time, too, where they can't go past that contract. But I don't know.
The only reason I figure that that's not done is there's so many artists, so many writers, so many creators. And I don't know who gets a cut. Like, does the inker get a cut of? Probably not. Does the colorist? Probably not. They might get mentioned about creating it if they had input, but a lot of times they don't. It's like, here's this dude's pencils, finish it up, clean it up.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though. But there's so many names that would be involved as far as contracts if you did it that way. So that's probably why it was just better the way it was.
Good case was made. Everyone agrees. Yep. It's a matter of how it's going to get handled.
Correct. So our last story is Age of Ultron. This is the part you were fearing, the part where I try not to spoil things for you.
Oh my gosh.
I saw the Avenger double feature yesterday.
Oh, that would have been awesome. I wanted to see that. But I don't have any friends who would have invited me to go see it, even though I was off and I could have gone. But please continue the story.
I didn't invite you because I was the one invited to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there was only that one ticket to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm loved more than you. Anyways.
Yes.
The things I want to say about this movie... and I feel like you should just ask me questions, so you ask me things you don't want spoiled that won't bother you. I feel like if I unintentionally spoil something, you're going to be so mad.
I am.
And I'm trying not to spoil anything.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead with this. Like, you can hear our review and still go see the movie is my hope.
Okay, here we go. First question.
Sure.
Overall, how did you feel about the movie?
I liked the movie. I thought it was really good. I think if you're comparing it with the first movie, it's kind of an apples and oranges kind of thing.
Sure.
They're both really good, and they both kind of work differently.
Okay. What was the biggest difference between one and two?
I would say the biggest difference is how they work together. Because the first movie was very much them fighting each other as part of the plot.
Sure.
This one, even if they still bickered, like, they worked together. The fighting, like, fighting goons... you know, was really good. Like, you know, Cap would throw his shield and Thor would smash it like Home Run Derby and it would hit off 70 guys. Like, that's cool.
Right. Did you tell me too much?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think I did.
So, the next question.
Compared to what I could have said, go.
Which character had the best improvement from number one to number two?
Hawkeye.
But hands down.
It's not even a second
thought. Not even a second thought.
They made Hawkeye so much better in this movie.
Okay.
Just action-wise, dialogue-wise, he was very fun and mm-hmm. very real character. He was great.
So making that takes the lowest up, which is good.
Yep.
Who's the number one character in the entire movie?
Who is the number one character?
Yep.
For
you.
Just my favorite character?
The best character in the movie.
Oh, that's really tough. Because they did split time fairly well
mm-hmm.
between everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Stark has a lot of the same dialogue that you expect, the witty banter. I probably enjoyed the Hulk a lot.
Okay.
A lot.
All right.
But still, Hawkeye's the most improved, so Hawkeye too.
Okay. All right. So Hawkeye could even be number one.
He could be.
Wow. He didn't just improve. He like really went up there.
He really did. And I don't want to get into more.
I know. There's no need to get into more.
Sure.
But I think that's enough to get people excited about that.
You definitely should be excited.
Yeah.
For sure.
Did Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, which doesn't spoil anything,
right.
Add or detract from the movie?
I feel they added.
Okay.
There's a great moment where they're trying to explain their powers.
Okay.
Someone is trying to explain what they can do.
Okay.
And everybody's like, what does that mean? It means he can run fast and she's kind of weird, is gotcha. What they said. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that's kind of cool.
Nice.
Because they did, like, this big, long technical explanation of Scarlet Witch, and everybody's like, huh?
Nice.
It was pretty good.
All right.
The twins were good. The twins added a lot to the movie. They show up more in the second half than the first.
Okay, that's fine. So...
They're throughout. They
did the fact that you can't use the word mutant, was that a problem?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all. In fact, they don't call them miracles.
Right, I was worried about that.
They don't call them miracles, they don't call them inhuman, mm-hmm. and they don't call them mutant.
Okay.
They're just more powered people on the field, is essentially what they say.
Okay. Like Thor, like Hulk.
Just whatever. Like them. It doesn't matter what they are because they have powers, that's what we gotta worry about.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Okay. Oh boy! Were there any? First of all, were there any Easter eggs?
I'm sure there were. There wasn't a lot that I noticed.
Okay.
I'm sure there was.
Okay.
There was lots of places where I watched it in IMAX on the big screen. My eyes were about to burst out of my skull. Like I said,
3D
double feature 3D. Uh-huh. Yeah. So. There's moments like in like the Avengers Tower and things like that where absolutely there could have been things.
Okay. Okay.
That I could have. And no, I didn't notice any.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. So that eliminates a set of questions I was going to ask you.
All right.
Do you have to see it in 3D?
No, but it is the kind of movie that is fun in 3D. I'm not big on 3D, but this is absolutely the kind of movie that benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as you know from the movie poster, there's scenes with a bunch of robots.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff is crazy to follow. Like, my eyes, I didn't know where to look kind of thing.
Mm.
But 3D still made it fun. Of course, there's little moments where things are coming at you.
Sure, and sure. Whatnot.
So, I think it's definitely the kind of movie to see in 3D. Because I've seen movies in 3D that didn't benefit at all. I'm like... I remember I saw Watchmen when it came out in 3D just because that was the show I could get. Because that sold out everywhere when that came out. And I'm like, well, this doesn't really... The rain looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
There's no benefit at all to the 3D.
How many people were in the theater in costume?
I didn't see anybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did not. Surprised.
How many crying kids did you have to deal with?
None.
What?
No, it was amazing.
You had the ultimate experience.
I did. There were some younger fans, but there wasn't kids crying or anything, no.
Okay.
It was good.
That's good. Nick Fury, was he important or not? Because you don't even see Nick Fury in any of the previews. You don't even think about him. Did he come up and was he important?
he came up. I don't want to tell you if he was important or not.
Okay, that's good.
I feel like by answering that, I'm not going to spoil anything or make you feel one way or the other. Does he come up? He's definitely mentioned. Is he more than that? I don't want
to
go either way.
All right, we'll leave it at that. And then does any of the Netflix Marvel stuff, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, any of that stuff important to the movie Avengers 2?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't believe so. I'm sure there may have been little things to S.H.I.E.L.D. maybe mentioned, but nothing huge at all. Absolutely not.
All right. That's good to know. Wasn't like a random Doctor Strange in the corner or Luke Cage over there, Iron Fist over there, Daredevil swinging by.
I was surprised they didn't make like how in, what was it, Cap 2, they made a reference to Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
There was no reference to anything. Like, Ant-Man's the next movie coming out.
Nothing.
No. But, I mean, they did have an interview before the movie started with Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, which was nice.
Okay.
Didn't really make me want to go see it anymore, but it was just nice that they did that.
What was your number one favorite preview?
All right, all the previews were awesome.
Yeah.
Because they're like, we need to put everything in front. They did Star Wars.
Don't tell me anymore.
What? That's... You don't want to know?
No, because I'm going to go see it myself. Just tell me Star Wars. Keep it at Star Wars. So all was the preview for Star Wars? That's the one you said.
Sure.
So was the Star Wars preview good?
It was all right. It was the same one that everyone's already seen.
Oh, really?
Yes.
The one with Chewbacca?
At the end,
okay. Gotcha. All right, so...
Yes. I will say there was probably 5 or 6 trailers, and they were all fairly interesting. Even one was more for children, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't even heard of it, and I was like, "Oh, this actually seems kind of neat."
Okay.
It's probably Disney. I don't know. I didn't pay attention, but it would make sense if it was.
Sure.
But all big movies.
Were any of the movies in the previews, without giving any details, having anything to do with Marvel?
Yes.
Okay. And okay, that's good enough for that. And then finally, the final question.
Sure.
The big event here.
Mm-hmm.
Was there anything in the final credits? Do I need to wait and sit through the entire thing?
There is nothing after the credits. There is. There's one quick thing. So. You get to the end of movie, credits come up, and it kind of does this thing where it just says the big actor's name.
Sure.
Then there's a quick little scene.
Okay.
But there is, that's it. There
no
is,
different than them sitting at the diner eating breakfast or whatever.
Right, this quick little thing and then the rest of the credits.
Okay.
That's
same
it.
Same thing. But nothing relevant, because like the eating breakfast at the diner thing, or whatever they were doing in Avengers, the first one, didn't mean anything.
Right. This one does.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yes.
All right, we survived.
We did it. I like how you didn't ask me about Ultron.
No, I refuse. I refuse to use that word in this house.
Well, we should be clear, just because it's probably a good thing you didn't. I am not a big Ultron fan in the comics. I like him. He's always been more plot device than actual character.
Mm-hmm.
After you see the movie, we'll discuss more in detail.
Sure, and Lou can be on that.
And we'll talk everything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I didn't dislike Ultron. Okay. But I'm not huge on Ultron either, so I wasn't, like, you know, beating my chest like, this is the greatest shit ever. It's too late.
Good. Oh, I didn't even know what you meant by that. You can say the S word.
Shit.
That means you should use it for any... Oh, my goodness. It's like a 5-year-old child, I swear.
I've been called worse. So I highly recommend Age of Ultron at the end of the day. I think it's great. One last thing I will add. Having watched the double feature and refreshing myself, because I haven't seen Avengers since I saw Avengers in the theater the first time 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. Having watched them back to back, it serves as an actual sequel to the first Avengers. It's not like, oh, I didn't see Cap 2. Am I going to be out on things?
Right.
Not really.
Not completely.
And it was a lot of things referencing back to the first Avengers and not specifically anywhere else, per se. All
right.
So overall, it does serve actually as a sequel, which made me happy.
Nice. All right.
All right. So let's do some quick reviews real quick. Let's do it.
All right.
And then we'll get on out of here, people.
Yeah. We'll do like one or two.
Sure. Go ahead, you start with what you want.
All right. New Avengers number 33. The cover has, in 1 month time, runs out Secret Wars, and it shows like a beaten Doctor Doom on the front of the cover.
All right.
I've never picked up New Avengers, ever. Never bought a single issue of theirs.
Doom?
I just knew... No, don't even like Doom. Okay. I just knew that the Avengers stuff is where Secret Wars is coming out of. So I was like, let me get one issue in before it all gets reset. this issue was phenomenally good. Right. It is so good. And I realized that Dr. Doom is coming up all the time right now in all the different issues. There's something big that's going to happen in Dr. Doom and Secret Wars, and I don't know what it's going to be. The deal with this one is that it pretty much begins right here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nice. It's all going down. Dr. Doom was given a task. You know how in Nick Fury, he was given the task of keeping everyone safe from the monsters?
Right.
You can basically transpose the same issue of Nick Fury onto him, except for his is more cosmic, multi-universal.
Oh, wow.
Doom was given the task by Molecule Man to destroy and kill every single Molecule Man in every multiverse, because Molecule Man is what causes Secret Wars to happen.
Oh, wow.
So he was given that task a long time ago to do that. And he's actually, Dr. Doom creates a religion. People have followed him throughout the centuries, and now those people go and kill Molecule Men for him, because there's billions and billions and billions of Molecule Men. And so he's trying to, at this point, kill the Beyonder, the creator of everything.
Right.
Because he believes, the idea is that Secret Wars is happening because the Beyonder wants it to happen.
Okay.
He says, I create all this, now let's go see what happens when we go throw them into a big fight, because I'm just bored, I'm a god, and this is what I do.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so he's trying to kill the Beyonder in this issue, doesn't quite work out that way, and we are now down from what was countless multiverses and all that good stuff. There are now, after this issue, only 12 left.
Wow. Wow, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big, and that's Hickman, who's going to be the writer, I believe, on Secret Wars, so... Hickman is so deep, man. He thinks so far in advance.
It's pretty crazy.
It usually has a good payoff.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the best writers there is, period.
Yeah. Or maybe not 12. I think maybe they said a couple dozen. I know the word dozen comes up. So maybe it was a couple dozen.
Well,
or
if we're going from billions of Molecule Mans down to a couple dozen, that's a big deal.
I can give you the real answer, because Reed Richards was counting them at the time. And he's like, oh, wait a second. Two dozen. So there's 24 universes left.
Interesting.
And that's it.
All the relevant ones, I hope.
Multiverses left.
Yeah. That's cool. So overall, you like the issue?
I really like the issue. Okay. And I've always been okay with Dr. Doom, but this... I've never been like, you know, I don't like him. But it was really well written. And it has the feel of X-Force, Uncanny X-Force. I don't know why. Everything sets the standard right now for Uncanny X-Force. It was good.
Yeah, sure. It's an epic of that scale, I guess.
Yeah, it is epic of that scale.
Very cool. Very cool.
So, that's mine. What's yours?
Mine is The New Avengers, Ultron Forever number 1, which is technically issue 2 of this Ultron Forever storyline that I reviewed issue 1 in Avengers Ultron Forever number 1. this is the one where it's Luke Cage's daughter is Captain America in the future.
All right.
Doom is bringing everybody from different time at different eras into the future to fight Ultron. This is a world Hickman created where Ultron won. This issue, unlike the other issue, was not as good. And it was very strange. I don't want to say it was bad, and I feel like, as a whole, once I read the third one, which will be Uncanny Avengers Ultron Forever number 1, it's so dumb, just call it 3 issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, I feel like, as a whole, I'm going to like this thing, but issue 2 doesn't do as much for me as issue 1. I liked that they picked different characters from different times, and there was 3 characters that were thought to have been murdered at the end of the last issue that we talked about. The male Thor, the original Hulk, and the Vision. Mm. All 3 of them are not dead.
Of course.
really weird. But, now, that being said, and like, the Hulk got decapitated. They make it make sense. Because they call back to really old things. You have to know those characters from those timelines to understand it. The Hulk actually... from that era, was bombarded with gamma rays again, and he had regenerative
properties. I can't talk. I know. Mm-hmm. All this talking and I can't talk. He basically can... Banner's head comes out of the chest and Banner, and then the head kind of grows back. It's weird. Okay. But it references something that actually happened in Hulk number 6, which is like an $800 book. Right. Good luck getting that one. Just download it off of Marvel.com or something.
Or go buy it.
Or go buy it. There's one at the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. Ironically. But, there's three different reasons all three of them live.
Wow.
And it's all referencing some obscure thing that happened that nobody remembers. So, in that respect, good job on referencing these things.
Sure, agree.
But it really took away from the oomph of the last issue where I'm like, oh man, they're in so much trouble.
Right.
The end of this issue, I'll just spoil for everybody because it's setting up for the third one.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like, do I want to bother?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you took my recommendation last time and then you're like, ooh, do I really want to bother? You kind of do. The end of this is they kind of just beat Ultron.
Oh, okay.
They straight up beat him.
Done. Over.
But not over, because you find out that Doom, who sent them all there...
Of course. Oh, geez.
It was all a plot for Doom.
Of course it was.
Doom pretty much takes over Ultron's capabilities.
Uh-huh.
He's controlling robotic children. There's all kinds of things. And... basically, Doom set it up for him to rule this universe.
And
he tries
always.
To send everyone back, and everybody's like, "No, we're not going back," and that's where they leave off.
Why does anyone trust Doom ever? Even Molecule Man having to kill Molecule Man so he can save the multiverses. I don't know why anyone's choosing to trust
Doom.
Why
Doom's
would you trust
awesome.
Doom? Yeah, he is.
Doom's kind of like a plot device that's not a plot device.
No.
You just know how he is and his ideals, I guess.
Yeah.
So... you just know how he is. So in that way, his point of view is almost a character.
Right, right.
But I didn't hate the book. I just really thought it was going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll review the third part when it comes out in about a month. And we'll see if it works. I look at it like the Matrix trilogy. Like, number two really didn't do anything for me until I saw the whole thing as a whole. And then I enjoyed number two a lot more. Is my comparison with this. Some things just work better as a whole, but this is no Empire Strikes Back. This is no amazing sequel.
Right.
So that's all I got.
Okay. Well, let's go with that. That was good.
All right, then. Well, anything you'd like to add before we take it on?
Nope.
Okay, sweet. Good. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, capesandscalespodcast.com. You know, like us on iTunes, favorite us, whatever you gotta do, write a review, how much you love or hate us, we respect your opinions.
Follow Tim on Twitter.
Yep, mad_dog_Tim, perhaps said correctly. And like us on Facebook, find us on YouTube, all that happy stuff. Thank you for listening.
Later.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash can!